Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be partly cloudy, maybe a stray shower, high around the mid-70s. Kenosha right now is at 62 degrees, 63 in Burlington, in Milwaukee 61, it is 62 in Racine. Police in Kenosha have released the names of the two men found shot to death inside of a home Tuesday afternoon, 23-year-old Brian Baldwin of Kenosha, 23-year-old Anthony Carroll of Waukegan. They have not released, police have, any other details about what occurred. It happened in the home in the 6800 block of 22nd Avenue. They say only in a brief news release that the evening that the incident was a domestic-related matter and there was no other danger to the community. A witness to the shooting, according to the news release, police did recover a gun at the scene. Charges dropped against a woman from Illinois originally accused of setting fire to a couch in a relative's home in Pleasant Prairie. 70-year-old Kathleen Coppy charged on Tuesday with attempted arson. Prosecutors requested the charge, though, be dropped at a hearing Thursday. She'd been staying at her brother's home in Kenosha County after two homes where she'd been living in Illinois were destroyed by fires in the past 6 weeks, 6 months that is. Investigators now believe it was the nephew of this woman who set all the fires. He allegedly confessed to Winthrop Harbor police that he set the fire to his aunt's home there. Kenosha News indicates that the man had been under investigation for allegedly forging some checks that were stolen from his aunt, but she refused to prosecute. Careless use of a combustible liquid and an aerosol spray listed as the cause of a fire at 1625 State Street in Racine late yesterday morning forced a man onto the roof of his home. Fire department's news release indicates there was a mattress in a second-floor bedroom that ignited. It trapped the occupant, identified as Mark Parcho. He climbed out onto the window onto a lower section of the roof and had to be rescued by firefighters who quickly put out the flames. Damage to the home was estimated at $5,000. In addition to Parcho, there were 13 family pets in that dwelling. One did not survive. The fire reported at about 11:35 yesterday morning. Well, with Common Council approval of the pilot program, representatives of the City of Racine Public Health Department are going to be doing a little walkthrough through neighborhoods looking for unlicensed pets and poorly maintained properties. WRJN's Janet Hoff says it's going to be a documentation kind of effort.
It's estimated there are nearly 37,000 unlicensed pets in the city, which officials say could also mean they are unvaccinated. The city requires annual licenses for dogs, cats, ferrets, and pot-bellied pigs. The health department representatives will also be looking at the exterior conditions of homes, including the roof, gutters, siding, windows, and chimney, and will also note tall grass and weeds, excessive garbage, and dog feces. Door hangers, business cards, and postcards will be used to communicate concerns with occupants and to encourage a resolution to the problem before the involvement of the unit inspectors and a possible fine. The representatives will be wearing public health department clothing and vests and will have official identification while visiting the city's neighborhoods. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
There was discussion in Kenosha earlier this year about regulating the home sharing craze with companies like Airbnb, but it was rejected by the Common Council. Well, now the state of Wisconsin's decided to do something as a revenue generator. An agreement announced on Thursday that allows the home sharing company to collect sales taxes for the state and counties effective July 1st. Had the agreement been in place last year, Wisconsin would have collected almost $700,000. Well, it wasn't exactly last minute, but an agreement was announced at the start of what was supposed to have been a due process hearing on the Riverside Inn's liquor license for alleged illegal alcohol sales, plus other documented problems at the Northwestern Avenue site. But what if the hearing had proceeded? They're kind of like courtroom trials, though not quite the same, according to City Attorney Scott Letney. He explained to the Public Safety and Licensing Committee that one similarity is the absolute need to be impartial. That means a blank slate going into that process.
Due process is a constitutional concept that it relates to fairness, procedural fairness, factual fairness, and the idea that the only thing you make your decision on in a due process hearing is the information that is presented in the due process hearing.
The agreement between the city's hired lawyer and the attorney for Sam's Riverbank LLC had been in the works for a while. Common Council's executive committee got a closed-door briefing on it the night before the scheduled due process hearing was to begin. The full council gets to vote on the recommended acceptance of that comprehensive agreement at its June 20th meeting. And the public may not understand the legalities of a community issuing a liquor license, believing perhaps that if they're granted, they can also just be taken away for violations. Not the case. John Belogic is the attorney for the City of Burlington, and as he explained to the Common Council there this week, once a license is granted, whoever has it can legally fight to keep it.
You can grant or deny it as you see fit, and you don't really need even any reasons to deny, just infinite discretion. Once you grant a license, though, if you think you will not renew it, or if you wish to revoke it, you need a due process hearing and some good cause to back that up.
The information came about with Burlington Alderman discussing the fact that the city, having reached its population-based state limit on liquor licenses, was required to buy some licenses from neighboring communities. A new name, new look, and a new vision on the way for Racine's Bell Urban System buses as of next week. Late Monday morning at the Corrine Reed Owens Transit Center, Mayor John Dickert's going to be joined by representatives from the city transit system to roll out the new brand for the bus. They will also announce new plans to improve and expand public transit in Racine and other parts of southeast Wisconsin. The entire fleet of buses is going to be cost-effective with decals to revitalize the brand for a cohesive appearance. Special promotions, fares, and opportunities will be available for the business community. And a partnership with Coach USA will offer commuter bus service to Metra train service in Kenosha, connecting riders to Chicago and the North Shore suburbs 7 days a week beginning September 1st. There's a cost to park your vehicle in one of the City of Racine's downtown parking ramps, and now it's going to cost a little bit more if you lose your ticket when it's time to leave. Transit and Parking Commission talked about the pros and cons of the $2 lost ticket fee and, based on collected data, recommended it go up to $3.50, according to Alderman Rady Hahn.
People found that that was a cheap way to park, so we jacked it up to $3.50, and we shouldn't have that problem anymore.
The higher lost ticket fee unanimously approved without discussion by the council. Unlike the proposed event center on Racine's Lakefront, there's been no significant public feedback on the request of Alderman Henry Perez to have committee of the whole discussion about making the mayor's job a part-time position. It did come up in this week's public comment portion twice with a couple of people at the Common Council meeting. Fiona Murphy using the word irresponsible given the current state of the country.
The recent national news very clearly indicates that the leadership vacuum in Washington, D.C. is pointing us towards our mayors and our local and regional leadership for direction to protect the citizens of our community. To look at a lot of the demographics of people that we have right now who are scared and uncertain, and tell them that the person who would be representing you and your interests will only be a part-time position is incredibly irresponsible.
Esther Roberts drove in from Summers to say that the person leading the City of Racine has more than just an impact on the city.
We need an elected mayor. We need the people at this particularly important time with all of the huge projects ahead of us that need to be decided upon and need a strong leader. We need the
At this point, no committee of the whole discussion has been scheduled. That will be done by Council President Dennis Weiser. He'll become the mayor once John Dickert resigns in the coming weeks for his new job with the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities Initiative up until a special election. Weiser noting a number of important issues the committee will soon be discussing, including results of the Phase 1 study on the proposed event center. Just a reminder, the Caledonia Village Hall on Nicholson Road is to be closed today to facilitate the move over to the new Village Hall. That new facility on Chester Lane is going to be open for business as of Monday. Construction of the new $3.5 million Village Hall began in July of last year and was completed under budget. It replaces the old facility on Nicholson Road built in the 50s for $50,000. And perhaps not the place you might think about touring, but the Kenosha Wastewater Treatment Plant is going to be having an open house tomorrow. The event designed to showcase the facility's award-winning energy optimization program, which creates gas from waste and converts the waste into energy. An $11 million project that will officially be completed with a dedication ceremony tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Mayor John Antaramian is going to be there, and Alderman G. John Ruffalo as well as the chairman of the Board of the Water Commissioners. They'll be cutting the ribbon on this project. The open house to begin with guided walking tours of the plant, continuing till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you plan to go, closed-toed shoes are recommended for the walking tours. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
Thank you.